got us going to trip over them. There's so much going on, and it was very dope. I also nearly slipped on a pen back there. Nearly fell over, that would have been an entrance. Hello, good evening, everyone. My name is Emily. If I've not met you yet, I'm part of the team here at Metro. I run the worship team. So if I haven't met you, do come say hello to me at the end. With you. As Alan said, we are in our third and final part of our series, Hold Spur Meet, where we've been looking at the passage from the book of Hebrews, one of the books from the New Testament, which was written for first century Jews. And the first century Jews that were being written to at the time were experiencing intense persecution for their Christian faith. And as a result, they were tempted to revert back to Judaism and leave behind their Christian faith. And the writer of Hebrews is writing to them to encourage them to keep going and to keep the faith. And this is a really relevant book for us today. It's one of those books from the Bible that I love to turn to when times are hard, because it's got so much really encouraging stuff in there. It can encourage us to keep going even when life is hard, because we know that life is difficult. We know that life comes with its challenges. And when we read the stuff that we see in Hebrews, we can be encouraged to keep going and keep the faith. And we can all be encouraged by the words of this passage from Hebrews chapter 10, which we're going to read now. So that says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the faith we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So far in this series, in the first week, Philip looked at the hold part of this passage, talking about how we need to hold on to hope and how we need to hold on to faith, even in life's most difficult moments. And last week, Kate talked about how we can spur one another on and support each other and encourage one another as a community through mentoring. And this week, we are going to be looking at the last part of this passage, which says, "Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." And as I mentioned, the author of Hebrews was talking to Christians who were being persecuted for their faith. And so meeting together could have been really dangerous. Now, where have we seen this today? Where have we seen this before? In the persecuted church, across the world, where people are being killed for their faith, where it's really dangerous for people to meet together. So they meet in secret, they meet underground in order to keep themselves safe. But where have we seen this before in our church in recent years? Well, in 2020, when a particular virus meant that we weren't able to meet together in the way that we knew and loved. And during the COVID pandemic, there were actually some Christians in the US, but also in the UK, who refused to stop meeting together. And they broke loads of laws and government guidance, and they used this passage as a bit of a backup to their point. They said, we shouldn't stop meeting together. We're told to not give up meeting together. So they actually refused to stop meeting together. But we actually see in this passage that it doesn't say how. It doesn't say, this verse doesn't actually show, it doesn't say, you know, we shouldn't meet together physically, don't give up meeting together physically, or don't give up meeting together in person. And as we've seen, the church meets in so many different ways, secret or underground, or digitally online. If you're watching online, we love having you as part of our church community. We believe that it's a really special way to meet together as church, and socially distanced. There's loads of ways that we can meet together as church. And as I was preparing this preach, I was reminiscing about the time during COVID where we couldn't meet together. Perhaps reminiscing is not quite the right word, as that is to look back fondly, to look back with happy memories. Perhaps the COVID pandemic didn't have the happiest of memories. And we were doing church in a really interesting way. We were doing church online from our living rooms, from our bedrooms. We were doing studio church in the crypt and various pop-ups over the country. Now, we didn't stop meeting together. We could have done. We had the perfect excuse. We could have said, actually, we're going to take some time off. Philip and Kate could have taken a long, long break and said, we're not going to meet together. We're just going to leave you guys to do life on your own. We'll check in a year. We'll see how you're all doing. But we didn't use it as an excuse because we knew that it was important to keep meeting together in any way that we could. And when we first started church online, I think it was quite exciting at first. That first week when we all settled down in front of our TVs, I was like, oh, look, Lex is on my telly. That's exciting. Oh, that's what their bedroom looks like. Oh, wonder if they tidied that just before they filmed. It was very exciting. But for me, as an extrovert, the novelty wore off quite quickly. I was not enjoying doing church and not being able to see all of my friends and see all of the people that I love chatting with and praying with. And when I come to church, I love worship. That's probably no surprise to any of you that worship is my favorite part of the church service. I love coming together and singing as one voice. I think it's a really special time. But it was just me and my mum singing in the living room, which was fun. She's got a nice voice, but it wasn't quite the same. It wasn't quite the same connection. And even when we were able to meet together in studio church and in the pop-ups, we all had masks on and we were all trying to communicate with our eyebrows and standing like a meter away from one another, catching up on our very boring weeks. What did you do? I went for a walk. What did you do? I baked some banana bread. The conversation wasn't particularly riveting. And our connection as a community was lost, but the community was still there. That community spirit was still there. We were meeting together in any way that we could, because we know that it's really important from this passage to not give up meeting together. Now, in this passage, it says we should not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Now, a habit is a constant, almost automatic practice that happens through frequent repetition. Now, we can either develop a habit or we can lose a habit. And at this time of year, we hear people talking about habits and habits that they want to develop for their lives. And these are known as New Year's resolutions. Does anyone have a New Year's resolution for this year? Don't worry, I'm not going to make you tell me. I thought you might like to hear some of my New Year's resolutions for 2024. So these are Emily's New Year's resolutions. New Year's resolution number one is walk 8,000 steps a day. You'll be pleased to know I've actually hit it today, 9,700. Josh made me go suit shopping with him, so that was mainly just trailing around behind him in the shop. Walk 8,000 steps a day. My watch comes up with a little trophy when I hit that, which is quite exciting. It makes it all the more exciting. Number two, eat healthily during the week. Came to this conclusion just at the beginning of January when it's fair to say I'd overindulged over Christmas. I think we can all agree that we probably all did that. So I thought, no more, Emily, you must eat healthily. So during the week, just going to try and cut down on the snacks, cut down on the junk food, eat a little bit better, and then just treat myself at the weekend. New Year's resolution number three is to read the Bible morning and night. As I read that this morning, I realized that sounded like I'm just going to read the Bible all day. That's not what I'm going to do. I just mean it's going to be my first thing that I'm going to read when I wake up and the last thing that I'm going to read before I go to bed. So I'm doing the Bible in a year with some colleagues. So I do that first thing in the morning. And then I'm also doing another version of the Bible in a year plan with Chaz. And I do that just before I go to bed. So it's just a way for me to, before I scroll through my phone in the morning, after I've turned my alarm off, I just like to read scripture, pray over it, reflect on it as I begin my day. And the same before I go to bed, just so I can go to bed reflecting on a wonderful bit of scripture and thinking about that. So these are my New Year's resolutions for 2024. Now, sticking to these is going to be difficult. When I'm working from home and I've walked a grand total of 98 steps that day, and that's just walking to the kitchen to get myself a coffee. When I've had a difficult week and I might want to go to the shop and buy myself a chocolate bar or maybe even get a McDonald's on the way home. When I'm just about to go to bed and I know I haven't done the Bible in a year and Chaz is going to be waiting for me to put my little comment, but my eyes are literally dropping and I feel like I could fall asleep at any moment. They're going to be difficult, but I believe that I want to develop these habits. And the only way that I can make them a habit, that I can make them constant and almost automatic, is through frequent repetition. And that involves doing it on the days where I feel like it and on the days where I perhaps don't feel like it. And it's the same with church and hub attendance. We may go to church when we feel like it, when we've had a really good week. But there might be some weeks where we're just not feeling it. Things have been a bit stressful and we could just do with a night off and a night in. Or perhaps you've had a really busy day at work and the last thing you want to do is go to hub. Now, sometimes life is busy. Life is stressful. Things can get on top of us. We can get ill and sometimes we do need a break. But in order to build and develop the habit, we need to do what the author of Hebrews tells us to do and not give up meeting together. And this is how we go from Christians who come to church when they feel like it to a Christian community who are in the habit of meeting together and see the real importance of meeting together. But why do we meet together? Why do we do these Sunday services in the morning and in the evening? What are the benefits? Well, we believe that it is good for us. It is a sacrifice to give time to go to church, to read our Bible, to worship and to pray, but we believe that we benefit from it. It helps us with our mental well-being, helps us to feel better, but it also strengthens our spiritual life and strengthens our faith. And I wonder how many of us can recall times where we haven't been going to church regularly, and actually we can recognize that our faith has dipped as a result. I know that there are definitely times in my life where I haven't been prioritizing going to church. It hasn't been important to me to go every week, and those are the times where I can recognize that my faith has dipped as a result, and my faith has felt weak as a result. So we go because it's good for us, but we also meet together because it's good for others. Now, the church is seen as a prominent source of encouragement, connection, and edification. We get a chance to meet together with like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ for mutual strength, support, and encouragement. And when I first came to Metro about 5.5 years ago now, I was a slightly confused, slightly lost 21-year-old with a random degree, and I had no idea what I was doing with my life. I felt really alone, felt like I was the only one. But when I came to Metro, there were loads of you just like me, slightly lost, slightly confused, not sure what you were going to do with your life. And over the years being at Metro, I've been able to come alongside those believers and they've been able to come alongside me. And we've done life together. We've done our faith journey together. We've supported each other through the lows and we've celebrated in the highs. And that's what's really special about church community, coming together with like-minded believers. And the passage says to not give up meeting together. Now, it's become a thing that we might go to church for us. We might go to church to consume. We might think, oh, I want to get something out of that word, or I didn't really get anything out of that word. I really want to get something out of the worship, or I didn't get anything out of that worship because I didn't know those songs. But that's not what church was ever intended to be. It was intended for community, to come alongside one another and support each other in life's highs and lows. Because life is hard and we need community, we need relationship, we need other people to do life with. And Kate talked last week about spurring one another on in love, encouraging one another through friendship, community, and we can do that through hubs, our midweek hubs that meet across the city, and also through mentoring. And when we do this, when we come alongside each other, when we support each other, we encourage one another, we are living out what Jesus intended for his bride to be like. So we meet together because it's good for us. We meet together because it's good for others. But we also meet because it's good for God. And through meeting together, we can worship God and give him thanks. Our Sunday services have lots of different elements. We have sung worship, we have prayer, we have community when we all chat outside before and after the service. We have preaching, we have scripture, hearing the word. We sometimes share communion together. But for the next couple of minutes, I'm going to focus on worship as one part of our services. We don't often talk directly about worship. I'm not sure I've heard many preaching series that focus specifically on worship. But sometimes it's really good for us to think about what it is we're doing when we worship and when we sing, and why we're doing it. Because why do we worship together when we meet? Is it because we like to sing? Is it because we're really good musicians and we just want to show that off? Is it because it makes us feel good? Is it because we think it makes God feel good? Well, we believe that worship is bringing praise, adoration, and gratitude to God, showing him what he means to us, and bringing him the glory and honor that we believe he deserves. And one way we can do this is through sung worship. Now, we say that our whole lives are worship. Everything we do is worship. The way that we interact with people, how we communicate, the way that we pray when we're at work, that's all worship. But one way to worship is through sung worship, through corporate worship. And that's a way that we like to connect with God and come together as one church, one voice, one body of Christ, one group of people singing songs of glory to him. And when I took over the worship team in September, I shared a word with you guys that I felt a real stirring in my heart, that I wanted us as a church to go deeper in worship. And I wanted us to rediscover what it means to have a heart of worship and to almost come back to the basics of worship. What is this thing that we call worship and why are we doing it? And this involves pressing into worship. Now, our worship time often looks very similar. We do three songs before the talk. They're often songs of gratitude and praise, singing of God's goodness and his greatness. And then after the talk, we give space with our two other songs to respond. That's our routine. That's our habit of worship. But we believe that God wants to meet us in that routine, and he wants to meet us in that habit as we continue to do it. And we don't want to just go through the motions of worship, where we stand up and we sing, and we sit down and we listen, and then we stand up and we sing again. We don't want to go through the motions. We want to be a worshiping community with an attitude that says, God is worthy of my praise. Now, for some of us, you might love worship. You might be like me. Worship is your best part of the service. You love singing. You wish we could worship more. But for others of us, worship might actually be quite difficult. It might be a part of the service that we find quite challenging. Maybe we feel quite self-conscious when we worship. We're worried that the people next to us or the people in front of us might be able to hear us sing. So we're worried to sing out. We might not really be sure how to connect with God in worship. Or perhaps you're still quite new to faith and new to church. And for you, this worship thing, you're not quite sure what it is. It's still quite odd, and you're still kind of getting to grips with it, and you just kind of stand up and sing when everyone else does, because that just seems to be what everyone else is doing, but you're not actually really sure what it is. Well, for all of us, whatever category you fit into there, how can we press into worship? Well, there are some ways that I've got for us that might help us. First of all, we can sing the words. That might sound really obvious. You're like, of course I'm going to sing the words. They're on the screen. But what I mean is really singing them and meaning them. A lot of these songs have big declarations, big statements of faith. And sometimes, and I've definitely been guilty of this, we find we're just singing it because it's what's on the screen and we're just singing with everyone else. But perhaps we're not really meaning it. We're not really understanding what those words mean to us. And it might actually be helpful for you to not sing the words. It might be helpful for you for one song to just say, I'm actually just going to listen. I'm going to listen. I'm going to take the words in. I'm going to let God speak to me through these words so that I can understand what they truly mean and I can truly understand them. You might want to close your eyes. I find that helpful for worship because it just helps to shut out the distractions. You're not distracted by the people next to you or the people in front of you or the people on stage or whatever's going on around you. And you're showing God, this is between me and you. I'm here to worship you. I'm here to meet with you. It's just you and God, and all of your focus is on him. And finally, you might want to lift your hands. Sometimes a physical expression of worship is helpful. When we put our hands out in front of us, it's showing God that you're open to receive the Holy Spirit, whatever it wants, he wants to bless you with. When we lift our hands up in the air, that's a sign of surrender, showing God that you are surrendering to him in praise. Now, you might be thinking, well, it's all well and good for you saying, Emily, you seem like someone who quite likes to use your hands. You're fairly expressive. But for me, I actually find that really awkward. I don't really like lifting my hands. I was chatting with Steve last week, and he's given me permission to share this. Steve is one of the guys on our core team. And he said that for him, he's not really a natural hand raiser. That's not really where he feels comfortable. And when he first started going to church, he was a bit like, well, I don't really know what I'm supposed to do with my hands. But actually, he's decided to make a conscious decision to raise his hands, to show God that he is willing to surrender his life, willing to surrender in praise. He's showing God that he's open. So for him, even though that's not something he would feel particularly comfortable doing, he decides to step out of his comfort zone. And that might be something that some of us choose to do. Actually, I don't normally raise my hands. I don't normally put my hands out in front of me, but I want to show God that I want to meet with him in worship. I want to show God that he is worthy of my praise, and I'm going to do that through my physical expression. I'm going to do that through my posture. I remember when I was growing up in youth group and we used to go to summer camp, me and my friends had this really stupid rule that you couldn't put your hands up in the first song, and we'd all stand with our arms folded, and then by about the second song, you could bring your arms down. And then maybe one comes out in front of you, but you're still quite low. And then maybe another one comes out. And as the songs went on, they would kind of get higher and higher and higher. And we would all stand in this line of maybe about 7 or 8 girls. And I would watch and I'd be like, oh, none of them have got their hands. Oh, I won't put mine up. It was ridiculous. And we'd just wait until the last song. What we were waiting for, I have no idea. And we don't want to be a community that's waiting for the last song to put our hands up. We want to be a worshiping community that has an attitude that says, God is worthy of my praise. We want to be a church where if people want to put their hands up, they can do that in the first verse of the song. They're not waiting for the last song. They're not waiting for everyone around them to do it. It's just between you and God. It's our offering of praise. And when we press into worship, that's what we're bringing, an offering. That's our offering. We say, I've not got much else to give, but I'll bring you a song. I've not got much else to give, but I'll bring you my praise. And when we lift our hands, when we raise our voices, that's what we're saying, that we are bringing our offering to him, and that's our sacrifice of praise. But what can we take away from today? How can we put the words of this passage into practice? Well, I mentioned my New Year's resolutions at the beginning, and I wonder if it would be good for us as a church to make some resolutions in order to develop the habit of meeting together. It might be that you are going to make the commitment to attend. You might be someone who tries to come along to church every week, but you don't always make it every week. And actually, you're going to say tonight, I am going to make the commitment to come to church every week. Or you might be someone who can't come every week because of perhaps a work schedule, but you're going to say, I will come along every week that I possibly can. Whenever I'm not working, I will be at church. Or maybe you're going to commit to every other week or once a month. Or perhaps you're someone who comes along to church every week, but you're a sneak in the back during the first song type person. You come maybe 10, 15 minutes after the service has started. Maybe you're going to make the commitment to arrive on time, maybe arrive a bit early. The bit that we do out there in the foyer as we're having tea and coffee and water and we're chatting and we're catching up on our weeks, that is church too. And it's just as valuable. It's just as special as what we do in here. And it's really wonderful when the service starts, if everyone is ready, waiting to receive, ready, waiting for what God is going to say, for what God is going to do, for how he's going to move. So maybe that'll be your commitment. I'm going to come every week and I'm going to try and make it 10, 5 minutes before the service starts so I can be with my brothers and sisters, so I can be in the full community. It might be that you're going to make the commitment to go to the next level in worship. That might just be as simple as you're going to sing a little bit louder. You know that you're a quiet mumbler so that no one will hear you. And actually you think, I'm just going to sing a little bit louder. Or maybe you're not a natural hand raiser like Steve, but you're going to make the commitment to raise your hands, to hold them out in front of you, to lift them up, to show God through your physical expression and your posture that you're ready to meet with him, that he is worthy of your praise. And finally, you might want to make a commitment to Hub. As I said, these are our midweek groups. We meet across the city, and we just do life together. We continue what we do in our Sunday services. We take that into our weeks, and we journey together. And if you're not in a Hub, I really urge you to go and find one. They are such amazing times. If you aren't in a Hub, do go and speak to Kate, who's our Hub coordinator. She can get you into a Hub that's near you and find you a group of people to do life with, to do community with. So maybe for you, it's going to be to find a Hub and join one. Or it might be that you know you haven't been prioritizing Hub as much as you should be. And full disclosure, I'm talking to myself as much as I am you guys. I can recognize that in the last couple of months, I haven't prioritized Hub. And I'm going to make a commitment that I'm going to try and go regularly. I'm going to try and go whenever I can. I'm not going to make the excuses of, oh, it's been a long day. There's a lot going on. I just need a night to myself. I'm going to prioritize that because it's so important to not give up meeting together. Now, these commitments, whether you choose to make one, two, more, or none of them, it is between you and God. I'm not going to check in with you in December, like, so those New Year's resolutions that we made back in January, how are we all doing? It's between you and God. It's not to do with me. It's not to do with anyone else. It's between you and God. And actually, if you recognize, yeah, I haven't been prioritizing going to church, I do tend to drift out of worship. I don't think I press in as much as I could. Or I haven't been prioritizing Hub. It might be that this evening you choose to make that commitment between you and God. This is our big idea for this evening. And it says, meeting together as a community is an important part of our faith. When we come alongside like-minded believers in worship, prayer, and community, we can strengthen our faith. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for the gift of meeting together. Thank you for the gift of your church, one body where we get to come alongside like-minded believers, where we get to do life together. Thank you that that is such a precious gift, and I pray that we would not take it for granted. I pray that we would lean into it, particularly when life gets tough. Would we not isolate ourselves? Would we not drift away? Would we press in? Would we lean on our brothers and sisters that we have here in this community? Would we recognize the value of community? How special it is to come and worship you and praise you and bring you glory and honor. And we get to do that alongside like-minded believers. And I pray if we decide to make one or more of these commitments, that you would help us in that. By your Spirit, would you help us to put those things into practice? To make church and Hub attendance a priority, to press into worship. Lord Jesus, as we worship now and we respond to this word, would you meet with us? Holy Spirit, be with us. Amen.